You are now listening to the Project Kuwait.
To the Project Kuwait.
To the Project Kuwait.
Where we stop at nothing to bring you the right facts on health, fitness, and psychology. Featuring some of the world's most experienced professionals. So you can learn, lift, and live. With your hosts, Meg, Dr. D, and Mehdi.
Any person in this world has a limiting factor when it comes to the goal that they want to achieve. And understanding what the limiting factor is going to dictate how you need to work, how do you need to work out, and then how you need to eat. Efficiency can be a double-edged sword. Depending on who you're talking to, an increase in efficiency can be good or bad. Famous TV show in the US kind of proved that when you put someone on an extreme diet, that is going to cause significant reduction in metabolic activity. And that reduction in metabolic activity is very, very hard to undo.
Our bodies adapt to any situation that we go into. And if you starve your body, it learns to work better, saying, oh, okay, you know what? I need to hold on to more of these calories to get me through this workout rather than burning everything.
All this and more in today's episode.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to this episode of The Project. And I'm joined by Fanos. I'm not even going to attempt to say your last name because I'll probably butcher it again, man. He is the co-founder of a project called Pinoy. And it measures the cardiometabolic measuring tool that athletes can use, correct? And excuse my ignorance on this topic. So I'll let you explain it better. You're the expert here.
Yeah, no problem at all. And thank you so much for having me here. Yeah, I guess for our listeners, best first step would be to explain what a cardiometabolic analyzer is and what it does. So a cardiometabolic analyzer is a device that scans your breath. And based on that analysis, it looks into the three most important components of human physiology: your heart function, your lung function, and your metabolic function. It does that by essentially screening the oxygen uptake and carbon dioxide production of your body. Now, that might start to give a little bit of a hint to some of the listeners as to what this device is all about. It's effectively a VO2max device or a metabolic analyzer. However, as a company, we tend to stay away from these terms because VO2max is simply one of the metrics that are being measured through a cardiometabolic test. Again, metabolic rate is one of the other metrics, but certainly none of these metrics paint the whole picture of what can actually be derived in terms of insights from a cardiometabolic test. So when we're discussing a cardiometabolic analyzer and a cardiometabolic test, we should always be thinking that we are concurrently analyzing our cardiovascular, pulmonary, and metabolic function individually, but also in unison. In other words, how these systems interact with each other. And this is incredibly important because ultimately, everything in human physiology, when it comes to motion and nutrition and physical exercise, it boils down to oxygen utilization. And to better understand that a little bit more, let me provide a little bit of science around how our body functions. It's good for the listeners to understand how oxygen is such an important element. At the end of the day, the way the body works in terms of powering its vitals, like the brain, the heart, the liver, but also being able to move, is a process that takes place in our cells, which is basically taking oxygen and utilizing that oxygen in order to burn fats and carbohydrates. And that process basically does two things. A, it in a very simplistic model, it generates energy, which we need in order to power the heart, make our legs move in order to walk or lift weights or bike, etc. And then that process also generates CO2. And that CO2 is then taken from the blood and cleared through the breath. So when you're actually measuring oxygen consumption and carbon dioxide production, you're basically measuring the cumulative effect of all of your cells working at the same time. So when we're basically measuring oxygen flow through the body, we are assessing how all of the systems involved in that process are actually working. And if you think about it, the way through which you get O2 down to a cellular level is you use the lungs to absorb oxygen, and then you use the heart to pump oxygen into the bloodstream. And ultimately, that oxygen is being utilized down to a cellular level. And then the other way around is the opposite flow is CO2, right? You have CO2 being generated at a cellular level, and then that is cleared through the breath. So long story short, because you're able to measure these systems concurrently, you are able to identify where your limiting factor is. So irrespectively of whether you are a CrossFit athlete, a runner, a cyclist, a triathlete, you name it, your ability to perform physical work ultimately boils down to your ability to effectively utilize oxygen and clear CO2. This is the hallmark of everything. So by running a cardiometabolic test, you're able to see that Panos, for example, is not able to perform past that level of intensity effectively because it's the lungs or the heart or the cells or a combination of the three that ultimately limit his ability to perform physical work. It is extremely essential to be viewing cardiometabolic analysis in such a way because one of the reasons why cardiometabolic testing, although it is such an important assessment, has been so underutilized is because up until now, if you walk into a typical sports science lab, they're going to put you through the test. They're going to collect all of that information, and you're going to walk away with two things, a view to max value and then your training zones. And for CrossFit athletes, that's of no good because it's of no use because, I mean, view to max is a number that is very important in cardiology. It predicts mortality for heart failure patients. It is a metric for overall fitness, but it's not prescriptive in any way. Like a VO2 max of 50 versus 54 is not going to tell me how I need to change my diet or how I need to change my workout routine. It simply tells me that I did some improvement, but it doesn't really tell me how that improvement actually took place. And then training zones, like even if you don't have a sports science telling you that training zones are sports specific, you kind of understand yourself that, hey, I was running on a treadmill and I empirically know that my heart rate on the treadmill has a specific profile, but that's not the profile that I see when I am lifting weights. That's not the profile that I see when I'm biking in a totally different environment. And so the training zones that you get in the lab are in very, very few cases actually applicable to your real training circumstances. So to make a long story short here, when we're thinking about cardiometabolic testing in the average sports science lab, the problem is that the information that is being handed off to the end customer isn't really useful. And that's why you're going to see a lot of athletes, especially the ones who are not endurance athletes, so CrossFitters, athletes in dynamic sports like football, soccer, and you name it, who don't really see the value. And it is totally understandable because they are being given a view to max value and a bunch of training zones, which can't really tell them what they need to work on. However, the big problem and the big missing opportunity is that if you analyze the data in a different way, if you actually look deeper into the data, there's a lot of information that can be very, very prescriptive and incredibly valuable for any type of athlete. Because for any type of athlete, as I said earlier, it all boils down to how effectively your body utilizes oxygen and clears CO2. And for any type of athlete, there's going to be some sort of limiting factor, which, as I said, can be your heart, your lungs, your cells, or a combination of the three. So this is like a big overview of what cardiometabolic analysis is, why cardiometabolic analysis isn't being fully utilized at that point, and where we need to get in order for that test to actually be something that pays dividends for the average athlete.
Wow, that's a much better overview than I got on the little chart on the elliptical machine that says your fat burning zone is here.
Yes. The rabbit hole is much, much, much bigger.
Oh yeah, that's very understandable. And people, they forget that we can manipulate our VO2 max and a lot goes into that based on diet and everything else that is accompanied with that. And the training modality that you're involved in, if you're involved in it for a week or 2 weeks, your body changes. It adapts to whatever you're doing. Now, what does Pinoy do exactly? I've seen a lot of CrossFitters using it. I saw that you had a lot of high-profile CrossFit athletes that have tried it out. Footballers have tried it out. It's a two-part question. How can this impact, A, the top-level athlete, And B, how can this impact the novice person going into the gym for your typical weight loss, like we were talking about a little bit earlier, or just to shred a little bit?
Sure. Let me first answer the first part of the question. So what does Pnoe do? We built the world's first portable, low cost, but still clinically accurate cardiometabolic analyzer. There are two reasons why cardiometabolic analysis, although it is so important and insightful, is not being utilized in society in general. One is the cost and complexity of existing systems. So that's what we solved by creating Pnoe. And then the second part is analyzing the data and getting information that is actually useful for the end receiver, your athlete, your professional athlete, your recreational athlete, or the person just looking to lose weight. And I will dive into the categories later. So we created a piece of hardware that is easy to use, affordable for the average gym, but then we also coupled it with data analysis service that actually provides useful insights to the end customer that go beyond VO2 max and training zones and touch upon the concept of limitations that I described earlier. So this is what Pnoe does. We sell this device to gyms, fitness centers, professional teams, research groups. We work with about 1,000 gyms at this point, primarily in the United States. We then provide programming, nutrition and workout programming to the end consumer through the gym. So as an end consumer, probably you won't be able to buy a Pnoe device because it is relatively inexpensive, significantly inexpensive compared to the big metabolic carts, which will cost anywhere between $30,000 and $60,000, but it's still a $7,500 device, which is okay for the gym, but certainly, you know, out of budget for the average consumer. So Pnoe as a device is primarily targeting fitness professionals. Now, to the second part of the question, which is why Pnoe is being used by athletes and how can it be useful for them and how can it be useful for...
Just a quick question before you dive into that. And I'm probably going to jump ahead a little bit. Now, will it give me energy output versus consumption? Is that how it kind of works? Like, will it show my energy output towards, for instance, doing a snatch or something like that? Like, or just my energy output explosive movements? Is it something around those lines or am I off?
Exactly. As we said earlier, we're scanning three things, heart, lungs, and then cells. The energy is being utilized at a cellular level. So yes, we are measuring, we are providing the gold standard for measuring how much energy you utilized during a specific period of time in order to do a specific movement, whether that is walking, running, snatching, doing pull-ups, or you name it. At the end of the day, if you think about it, calories, which is the energy that you release in your body, is oxygen, burning fats, a mixture of fats and carbs, and then releasing that energy for you to be able to lift the weights. So by looking at the ratio between O2 and CO2 in the breath, we are able to A, measure calories, and then B, also measure the breakdown between fats and carbohydrates in your metabolic activity. So this is certainly possible. That's one of the landmark use cases of metabolic testing. Now, going back to how can this device be useful for a person that wants to lose weight or a person who's like a professional athlete and so on. As I said earlier, if we think about any person, like when it comes to changing something in your body, it's about fighting your limiting factor, right? And any person in this world has a limiting factor when it comes to the goal that they want to achieve. And understanding what the limiting factor is going to dictate how you need to work, how do you need to work out, and then how you need to eat. So the basic principles of how the human body operates will remain the same, whether we're talking about a professional athlete and if we're talking about a person that wants to lose weight. So let's take the case of a professional athlete. You're looking at someone who wants to lift more or run faster. It is going to be a combination of you need to do a little bit more of breathing work, and then you need to be doing a little bit more work to improve your cellular function in order to burn more fats. It can be a combination of whatever. And then at the same time, the same applies to someone who wants to lose weight. Like a person is not losing weight either because they have an impaired fat oxidation capability or because their metabolism has slowed down because they're not burning as many calories as they should have. And that can be caused by several different factors. It can be the fact that they've been dieting for a long time, which causes a series of hormonal responses, which will lower your metabolism, and so on and so forth. So every person has a limiting factor, which is what is preventing them from getting to their goal. And that limiting factor is usually somewhere among your lungs, heart, and cells. So if you want to know where your limiting factor is and what you need to do about it, you need to get tested.
That's an earful. And I guess that would really help for the weight loss people who don't know if they should do steady state cardio, HIIT training. And then you get the CrossFitters, which that opens a whole new can of worms in its own. So with the athletes, can they essentially build their training programs around their results?
Yes. And this is what we actually do for them, because it is pretty complicated to analyze 12 different things in your breath and then understand where the limiting factor is, and then also have the know-how to structure a workout plan and a diet plan that targets that limiting factor. So this is a process that we offer as a service here in PNOE. Obviously, we do provide full access to all of the data that is generated from the device, and there's a pretty sophisticated data processing tool that is available for the professional that is using PNOE, if they have the know-how, of course, to analyze the data. But as I said, we automated that process and we provide it as a service to our gyms and affiliates, because we want them to be able to fully leverage the power of metabolic testing without needing to have a background in exercise science, and then obviously without needing to invest significant time and effort in analyzing each test. So let's say that, for example, we identify a pulmonary limitation. Then it's about doing the right breath work and doing the right combination of HIIT and cardio training at the right zones. And by the way, there are three zones in our universe, not just one set of zones, which is heart rate zones. You have heart rate zones, which are the zones for your cardiovascular system. You have breathing frequency zones, which are the zones for your pulmonary system. And then you have power zones, which are the zones for your muscular system, your cells, in other words. So depending on your limiting factor, the zones that you need to be sticking to can be very, very different. Because at the end of the day, when you're targeting a limiting factor, you want to induce the adaptations for the specific organ in your body that is actually suffering. So heart rate, unfortunately, doesn't have great correlation with the other systems, lungs and muscles. We use it a lot because, like, the average person isn't really familiar with everything that we're discussing here, right? So, but if you really want to get effective training, it all boils down to sticking to the right combination of resistance, low intensity cardio, and high intensity interval training. And then when you're doing each type of training, building your training and organizing your training around the right zones. That's kind of the basic principle behind the workout programming that we provide.
Wow, man. I mean, I got a million and one questions that are just circling around in my head right now. And the first question is, like, you guys had James Newberry try out your product, and he's a pretty high profile CrossFit athlete. And I can see how this would be a game changer for an elite athlete or for someone that's very competitive or at that competitive level.
Recreational endurance athletes or recreational CrossFit athletes, there's millions of people who are into that category, of course. Yeah. And for these people, it's being able to do better in their sports is something that is very important, because it's a hobby. Yes, it's something that is part of who they are. It supports their day to day. It's like a personal goal. So I totally understand how it might not be what pays the bills, but it's still a very important element in their lives.
And to our average listeners, I mean, data tells stories. And I told you earlier that I used to geek out on HRV. I would do HRV in the morning. I'd also do a grip test to see where my grip is at, to measure how my body recovered for that day's training, to kind of get a better idea of my recovery state and my exertion levels later on. Now, with PNOE, can it do that also? Could it give me data to indicate if I am exhausted or in an exhausted phase of my day or week? And, you know, maybe I need a deload, for instance.
It could. However, you still need to run like a test on some sort of cardio device. Obviously, it is much easier to use an HRV monitoring device like Whoop, for example. We have a great relationship with Whoop, and Whoop is a great product to measure recovery through HRV. This is certainly something much more realistic and applicable to the average customer. But to answer the question, could PNOE be used in order to measure recovery and measure exhaustion? Absolutely. Something that some teams are already doing using PNOE is that they put the athletes once or twice per week through a 5-minute test where they actually pedal at a specific wattage on a stationary bicycle or a flywheel bicycle, like an assault bike. And they basically measure their cardiometabolic response in response to constant workload, that is, let's say 200 watts every time. And by looking at your fat oxidation and also looking at your energy efficiency, efficiency is a very important concept in human physiology. It is basically how much energy I'm putting in the system. So how much fuel is going into the cell, fuel is fats and carbohydrates, versus how much energy I am actually generating in terms of mechanical propulsion. So 200 watts on the treadmill. So efficiency can go up, efficiency can go down. When efficiency is going down over time, let's say from one day to the next, it basically means that your system is tired. Your system is not able to put out the same amount of mechanical propulsion by utilizing the same amount of fuel going into the system. So think about the car, right? The car is like an engine. You throw fuel in, that's chemical energy. This is the equivalent of fats and carbohydrates going into the cells. And then there's a combustion process that utilizes oxygen just like it does in the cells. And then that process is going to generate forward propulsion for the car. Now, when the car starts to break down, where the bearings start to get all rusty and stuff, like obviously you're going to be burning more fuel in order to be making 60 miles an hour. That's exactly the same thing, the same basic principle that applies to the human body when you start to get tired. So can you measure fatigue? Yes, in many ways, probably in many more sophisticated ways compared to tracking HRV, but not something for the average user.
Now, would it be safe to say that efficiency, and this some of the listeners out there, would it be safe to say that the more inefficient you are, the better you are at burning excess energy, or would it be the opposite?
It's exactly that. Efficiency can be a double-edged sword. So depending on who you're talking to, an increase in efficiency can be good or bad. So if you're talking to a triathlete, an endurance athlete, they obviously want to be as efficient as possible. Why? Because they want to get the biggest bang for the buck in terms of mechanical propulsion, which is going from point A to point B for every unit of calorie output they generate. So they want to be able to move as much as possible for the amount of nutrients they're pushing into the system. Why is that? Because they're going to cover a pretty significant distance using their body. They might be doing Ironman, which is many hours of working out. So you need to be economical. That's why a term that is frequently used in order to define efficiency is running economy or cycling economy. Effectively, both of these two terms refer to mechanical efficiency. However, mechanical efficiency, if you're trying to lose weight, is going to be your number one enemy. Your metabolic, when we say that your metabolism slows down, and that's something that we hear a lot in magazines and, you know, anything, any outlet that has to do with fitness and wellness, when people refer to my metabolism is slowing down, my body's not burning calories, if you analyze what is happening, it is basically a reduction in your mechanical efficiency. In other words, it is basically the fact that because of a variety of factors out there that have to do with hormones, that have to do with, you know, it's quite complicated. We can discuss that if you want to. But because of a variety of factors, your body is not burning as much as it was when taking each step. So each step that you're now taking is burning fewer calories. You're becoming more economical. And as a result, if you were eating 1,500 calories and that was actually leading to a weight loss, you're now eating 1,500 calories, but because your output, the amount of energy you're putting out has now gone from 2,000 calories to 1,600 calories, now your deficit went from 500 calories to 100 calories. So that obviously is going to slow your weight loss substantially. This is something that is happening. There was a review article of multiple studies that have been done over the past decade that basically showed that increasing mechanical efficiency is the number one factor preventing people from losing weight. There is also a lot of, you know, empirical evidence that supports that. Probably you're familiar with the case of The Biggest Loser, famous TV show in the US that kind of prove that when you put someone on an extreme diet, that is going to cause significant reduction in metabolic activity. And that reduction in metabolic activity is very, very hard to undo. So once you get your efficiency up as a person that wants to lose weight, it's actually hard to get it back down. So it's actually very important to be monitoring your metabolic efficiency when you're on a weight loss program, because the moment you see it going up, you should act immediately by getting off the diets, doing a little bit more of strength training, you know, initiate the things that would normally fix that problem. And you're better off acting sooner rather than later, because as science has shown, that adaptation, if it occurs, it becomes very, very hard to undo.
No, it's true. And we've said it plenty of times on this show that your body adapts. Our bodies adapt to any situation that we go into. And if you starve your body, it learns to work better, saying, oh, okay, you know what? I need to hold on to more of these calories to get me through this workout rather than burning everything. And that's why you get the newbie gains or the newbie weight loss, like I like to call it. You know, someone goes into the gym for the first month, they drop 5 kilos or 15 or 10 pounds. And then they just hit that plateau and then they can't figure out why. And I mean, so Pinoy right there could break that cycle for someone like that, correct?
It's not Pinoy per se that is going to break the cycle. The Pinoy is going to be the alarm.
It's going to be a tool that you can put in your tool belt as a gym or a trainer.
Correct. So it's the first like red alert that is going to go off that is going to indicate to the user that we're doing something wrong. We need to get off that program right away. And if you look at the traditional millennial who is very much into fitness, they invest a lot of money, they invest a lot of effort and time in getting their bodies to where they want them to be. You can see that they're actually following all of the things that you need in order to get your body in a hyper-efficient state. So a lot of cardio, very little eating. So you have your typical female millennial going and doing spinning or some sort of cardio-related activity a couple of times per week. Strength training is, in many cases, shunned upon, which is extremely bad. For me, this is kind of the biggest chunk of the problem. And then they couple that excessive amount of cardio with significant underfeeding. They eat 2-3 salads a day and that's it. Now, that is exactly what it means digging your own hole, in the sense that science has shown that you do not need to be an overweight individual that goes in a diet in order for that hormonal response to kick in and for your metabolism to slow down. Actually, it has been shown that that metabolic slowdown will occur to pretty much everyone who goes into that mode of working out and dieting in such a way that is going to cause your body to think that, hey, I need to conserve calories. It is indeed a very significant problem that a lot of people are completely unaware of. And if you ask me, as I always like to say, it all starts under the squat rack, in the sense that you really need to build muscle. You really need to, and even if you're not building muscle, like resistance training is going to be something that can reverse that hormonal response. Even if your resistance training doesn't necessarily lead to significant increase in muscle volume, it can increase the amount of calories that the remaining amount of muscle in your body actually burns. So resistance training shouldn't be viewed as a way to build volume necessarily. It can obviously lead to volume increase, but it will also lead to strength. It will also lead to the reversing process of that hormonal response, which we don't want, and a bunch of other obviously very beneficial things like bone density, building stronger joints and whatnot, which are extremely important in the long term. Cardiovascular training is going to give you a long life. Strength training is going to give you a high quality of life. You need both.
We say that on the show all the time, like cardio is great, but strength training is really where it's at for longevity and just to move better later on in life. It does so much for the body. Yeah. Now, let me throw a little sports question. I'm an ex-athlete. I used to play baseball, coach baseball for 15 years. I'm a CrossFitter. So would Pinoy be able to tell the power output difference between a baseball player and an Olympic weightlifter? Would it be able to do that if we wanted to measure between two athletes? the way they utilize energy. Could you guys do like...
Of course. It's actually a very simple test. Just utilize a flywheel bicycle or something that these two athletes are familiar with and just ask both of them to...
Oh, so it'd be a standardized test for both of these athletes. And then you could be able to basically tell, okay, the Olympic athlete definitely has more of a power output and a higher threshold than the baseball player, for instance.
Correct. Yeah. If you put the mask on, like you can obviously put the mask on and ask the CrossFitter to do a snatch and then put the mask on and ask the baseball player to do something in baseball, some movement, but these two movements will not be comparable in any way. So if we are to benchmark their systems in terms of the amount of energy they're using and the substrate that they're using, substrate means fats or carbs, in other words, the fuel they're using and whatnot. If we're looking to identify structural differences, then we need to control for the movement they're doing. That's why we need to ask them both to do the same thing.
Oh, it's amazing. Usama said he was going to let me try it out, but then obviously we're under quarantine. Usama Awayish, he's the guy that has the Panoa here in Kuwait, and I've been dying to try it out. And unfortunately, I haven't gotten the opportunity, but once he allows me to and once we're able to, I want to try it because, I mean, it's awesome. Like, you guys actually packed this machinery into a small enough backpack with just like a basic oxygen mask that comes around, and you can still move around in it, and you can still get the assessment that you need during a WOD, for instance, or a high intensity workout.
Correct. Yeah. One of the big...
How much does it weigh, just out of curiosity?
About half a pound, the whole thing.
Oh, okay.
So it's not really adding, any substantial weight. There are a bunch of MMA athletes that have used the device when sparring, and we've had athletes do all kinds of movements while wearing the device. So portability and wearability is certainly one of the key features of this device.
Oh, that's amazing, man. I mean, this device seems like a typical game changer, to be honest with you, at elite gyms at that, to be honest with you. I know a lot of elite athletes that would definitely be interested in it. Now, you touched on it a little bit earlier, but how could I build my training program around the data that you attain from doing my tests? Like, if I were to walk in, do a test for you guys, would it be run through an application and then it would say, okay, here's your training plan? Or would it be like, you know what, we're recommending that you do, for instance, steady state cardio over HIIT training as a CrossFit athlete if you want to bring up your efficiency with long rows, for instance, you know, if you're doing a marathon row. So could you sort of build my program in that way, or would it be structured differently into building someone's program? Could you be like, all right, so, you know what, Mehdi, you're doing way too much high volume. Let's bring your volume down for now and go into heavy weightlifting, for instance, for 2 weeks, and then we'll ramp the volume back up. Would you be able to do a, like, give advice on programming in that way?
Yes, we are able to structure and put together a complete program that basically provides the right breakdown between resistance, HIIT training, and cardio training for the athlete based on their limitation and obviously based on their fitness goal. It's different for someone to be wanting to be a CrossFit athlete versus wanting to make it to Kona. At the end of the day, the right training is going to include some combination of resistance, HIIT, and cardio training. None of the three should be completely neglected. And so to answer the question, yes, we certainly build complete programs for those who are getting tested. If you were to get one of our units and wanted to build that program by yourself, you would need to do a lot of studying. This is why we're starting a certification program for all of those who own Apnoe System. Like, for those who own Apnoe System, that's going to be offered free of charge. If you don't know Apnoe System, it's a certification program that you will obviously need to pay something for. But we want to be able to get people to the level that they will be able to analyze the data by themselves without utilizing our service. It will still be extremely time consuming because it is a process that analyzes 12 different biomarkers, etc. But I do think that this is necessary for cardiometabolic testing to achieve the level of penetration that it needs to achieve in our society and in the world of sports, etc. Because ultimately, the coach who is using the device, etc., needs to truly understand what is happening under the hood. And this is kind of the inspiration and the driving force behind this certification. So in general, what is happening, even with people who are somewhat or very familiar with our data analysis process, is that they still outsource the data analysis process to us because it is something that we have perfected and we offer it at a very low cost. But still, we want you to have the tools and the knowledge to do that on your own.
That's awesome, man. That's really cool that you guys are coming out with a certification program also.
Yeah, I mean, COVID for us, as you can imagine, has had a pretty substantial impact on the business, but it has been a good opportunity for the team to take a step back and rethink things a little bit. We are building a lot of exciting new products. The certification is one thing. We're also building something that we internally refer to as Zoom for Fitness. We're building a teleconferencing tool that has all of the features needed for a gym to perform virtual workouts, which do not have the clutter that comes with Zoom or Google Hangouts. So automatic movement detection, utilizing your computer camera, being able to stream audio to all of your customers at the same time without needing to put your phone on your computer speaker, and being able to broadcast your Apple Watch data on your screen and then directly to your coach. Bunch of other things. And really the goal for us now as a company is to build that ecosystem of services, which are important for the training that we are actually generating after the test to be implemented by the end customer, wherever that customer may be.
That's awesome. I mean, it looks like you guys have everything figured out. And COVID, I think it's been an opportunity for a lot of us to kind of refigure things out, rethink things. What about for nutritionists? If I was a nutritionist, could I benefit from having a Pinoy in my office or in my clinic, for instance? Would that help a solo nutritionist, or would it be more beneficial for gym owners?
Both, because as we like to say, it is absolutely impossible to do an effective and sustainable transformation in someone's physiology, irrespectively of whether we're talking about weight loss or elite performance, if we're not tackling both nutrition and workout programming. And this is why in the services that we provide, we also provide nutrition programming, because a lot of gyms are not offering nutrition programming.
Yeah, that's very true.
And they obviously recognize the need, but in many cases, at least in the US, it's a hustle to find an RD and build a working relationship and whatnot. We have built the back end to be able to offer that. And then vice versa, when it comes to nutritionists, like a nutritionist will certainly benefit from the device, because one of the things that the device measures, as we said earlier, is energy expenditure and substrate utilization, which is the alpha and the omega in building a diet plan. Because when we think about diet plans, okay, how many calories should I be eating? Well, how many calories are you burning? So to answer that question, the only way to reliably answer that question is by doing a metabolic test. So it is certainly, I would say, the bread and butter for a nutritionist. But going back to our service, it's a very important tool for a nutritionist's practice, because yes, the device and the reporting service is going to give you the information you need to structure your diet plan, but also we have the infrastructure and the know-how to provide your customer with workout planning as well. Because again, these two need to be going hand in hand all the time.
100%, and it makes sense. And one thing that really irks me about nutritionists is I've been to a nutritionist several times, you know, just to test them out. We've had nutritionists on the show, and we've obviously, if someone comes on our show, we like to test out their methodology to see if they mesh. And a lot of the times with nutritionists, especially, they'll walk around with the fat clamper. They're like, all right, yep, here you go. Here's your diet plan. You're on your way. And I'm just like, dude, no, like that's not going to work for me. Yeah. I'm a CrossFitter that works out at high intensity for about 2.5 to 3 hours. And you're telling me to eat 1,500 to 2,000 calories. That's just not going to work for me.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I've had it happen where they're like 1,700 calories and on training days bump into 2,000. I'm like, dude, I'm eating like 5,000 a day.
So for you, like, and that was like the foundational premise for our relationship with Whoop. There have been several studies that have proven that wearable devices are extremely inaccurate when it comes to measuring caloric expenditure. In fact, the latest one was published 8 days ago. It was done in Germany, and it included all of the latest ones like Garmin, Apple Watch, et cetera. And despite years and billions of dollars
in investing in algorithms, these devices are still unable to predict a person's metabolism. A person's metabolism can never be predicted just by utilizing acceleration and heart rate, period.
100%.
We need to measure gas exchange. Now, the great thing with our relationship with Whoop is that when you have a Whoop strap and you do a PNOE test, the information from the PNOE test is going to calibrate your Whoop band and can make it truly accurate because it calibrates the heart rate and acceleration signal based on the energy expenditure that we measure at rest and during exercise. So in a case of a person like you who is so active and working out for so many hours per day, like you can truly benefit by having a very good estimate of how many calories you are burning per day, because then you can actually gauge your nutrition, your food intake accordingly. If you actually know that you're burning 4,000 or 5,000 calories per day, you can actually know that 3,500 calories per day is something normal for you that can still yield, you know, some decent weight loss or decent fat loss. And you will not need to do crazy stuff, which can be detrimental for you, both for your performance and your health, along the lines of eating 1,500 calories or 2,000 calories per day, which I totally understand. I've done a lot of CrossFit and a lot of working out myself. Even if I haven't measured anything, I can totally feel that right now I need to eat at least 3,000 calories to feel okay.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm totally with you on that.
It's like telling me to eat lettuce and a couple of drumsticks. That ain't going to work. Yeah. You know, that's definitely not working for me.
Yeah.
I'm just going to ask one more question out of curiosity, because I mean, I'm sure you've seen so many different cases and people test it out. What are some of the crazy differences that you've seen between people that possess slow twitch muscle fibers versus fast twitch muscle fibers in terms of their rate of expending energy? I mean, is it a crazy difference between slow twitch and fast twitch between, you know, a sprinter versus a marathon runner?
Yes.
How crazy? Yeah. Like how crazy is it? I'm just curious because...
Yeah. And there are studies that have been done, obviously.
But scientifically, from your analysis, like how crazy does it look with the breath stuff and everything?
Just to give you an understanding, the human body has an efficiency when working out anywhere between 16 or 17% and can go all the way up to 25%. We're pretty inefficient if you think about it. And 25% is a professional level cyclist. So very, very economical body, like trained for years on a specific type of motion, like cycle. That means that only 25% of the energy that goes into the cell in terms of fuel, like fats and carbohydrates, is actually converted into propulsion, which is 200 watts or 300 watts on the bicycle. Now, a 25% efficiency is going to be equivalent to roughly 80%+ of type 1 muscle fibers, so slow twitch, versus 16%, which is going to be close to 100% of type 2As or type 2B muscle fibers. So fast twitch muscle fibers. It's going to be a pretty vast difference in terms of energy expenditure. What's more important, however, is the substrate utilization, because type 1 muscle fibers perform oxidatively exclusively, which means that they utilize oxygen in order to burn fat as a fuel source. So when you're a type 1 person in terms of muscle fibers, you're primarily burning fat when you're exercising. And on the contrary, on the flip side of things, type 2B muscle fibers primarily using carbohydrates. That means that they wear you out much more rapidly. So what we normally see in the case of a CrossFit athlete, for example, that has been doing a lot of strength training and a lot of explosive movements, is that their fat utilization is crap. Like their body is primarily type 2Bs. Now, there's this type of muscle fiber, which is called type 2A, which is basically a type of muscle fiber that is a hybrid type. So it can operate oxidatively, meaning burning fat, or it can operate glycolytically, meaning that it can switch into carb burning mode, which, yes, will wear you out very rapidly, but also has the ability to release a lot of energy in short periods of time. So if you're actually looking to conduct an explosive movement, this is what you will need. So in the world of CrossFit, that's kind of your go-to type of muscle fiber, because you have both that need to kind of work. Like on the one hand, you're doing exercises that need to last for significant periods of time, so several minutes. Like think CrossFit is now moving more and more towards endurance type of movements, like a little bit of biking, a little bit of swimming and whatnot, where there, the more oxidative you are, the more fat you're burning, the better off you are.
But then they will ask you to snatch pull-ups.
Yeah.
Like some other stuff that are going to be pretty explosive. So in that case, like a person who is like exclusively type 1 muscle fiber person is not going to be able to perform. So that type 2A muscle fiber type is kind of like the sweet spot. And the reality is that muscle tissue is quite malleable. You can actually change the structure and its core functionality by adhering to the right type of training. That goes back to what is your limitation?
Yeah.
What do you need to do in order to overcome it?
Oh, wow, man. Amazing, dude. That was honestly one of the best science lessons I've had on this show in a long time. It's definitely better than, you know, the skimming of the surface that we get sometimes. So that was very in-depth. Yeah. And honestly, I can't wait to try the product out. Like I said, I was supposed to try it a long time ago with Osama. I just never got around to it because of the whole COVID thing happening.
No.
It was something where I'm about numbers. I've always believed in numbers. I'm an ex-baseball player, and numbers can tell a story about anything and everything. And, you know, I was a catcher. So I always analyzed averages and everything. So it's amazing how some people neglect these small little things and including them in their training regimens and in their diet plans. So I'm really excited to try this thing out. And hopefully we can hook back up with you guys as soon as I try it out, and maybe we can make something else materialize out of this. It would be awesome, man.
100%. Obviously very open to all of these things. And you're in Abu Dhabi, right?
Kuwait. Kuwait.
You're not that far from where most of our team is located, which is in Athens, Greece. So if you're ever in Greece during the summer or not, give us a ring.
Oh, definitely, man.
Happy to take you through our lab there. Like, we have a pretty big lab. We're testing a lot of different things all the time. So yeah, if you're ever around, just give us a ring and I'm sure we will have a lot of exciting things to show you.
Oh, amazing, dude. Amazing. Thank you. Thanks again for coming on the show. Really appreciate it.
Pleasure was all mine. Thank you so much for having me, and we'll definitely stay in touch.
How can people find you? What's the best way to get in touch with you guys, especially for gym owners and whatnot?
So Instagram is a great place for people to get some initial information. We post a lot of educational posts that touch upon the different areas that we discussed today. PNOE Analytics, P-N-O-E Analytics is our Instagram. And then if they want to get in touch, they can send us an email at info@mypnoe.com. That is info@mypnoe.com. Or visit our website, www.mypnoe.com.
Awesome, man. Thank you.
Appreciate it. Have a good one. Stay healthy. Stay safe. Bye.
Thanks for listening to this episode. If you enjoyed it, please head over to iTunes to subscribe, rate, and leave a review. You can also find us on Instagram @ProjectKuwait. Thank you, and join us next time.